to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. We want to welcome you to Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is the place for in-depth conversations about your life, purpose, and personal wellness in every aspect of your life. We talk about real issues to develop life, a lot of relationships, and of course your business. All on purpose. We keep it real. And today on the show, we're excited to have Alicia Brawman. She is the CEO and owner of TFY Apparel. Welcome, Alicia.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. So, of course, you know, I'm going to ask you right away, what does TFI mean?
It stands for the Forgotten Youth. It has a pretty deep backstory that goes into it.
Okay.
We can definitely get into that.
Yes, absolutely. Tell me about, now say the name again, the Forgotten Youth.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and tell me what is that mean? That's deep. So tell me.
Yeah. Okay. So the story starts, with me. You can imagine me a little pigtailed girl, bright eyed. And I'm 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I am basically ripped from my family. You
wow.
know, I'm thrown into a foster home,
uh-huh.
and I am experiencing a whole new stage of life.
Wow.
In this foster home, you're only allowed to have 3 shirts and 2 pairs of pants.
Ooh.
So you can imagine that, one, the trauma that we have to go through that
right.
lands us in the system. Two,
right.
being ripped from our homes, you know, being placed in an unfamiliar place with unknown faces. And then, as you can imagine, when you're only allotted 3 shirts and 2 pairs of pants as a young schoolgirl.
Absolutely.
It's inevitable that you encounter bullying on a daily basis. And so, you know, we're adding that to the list of traumas.
Oh, yeah.
I always say this about foster kids. One of the best things, and one of the things that I think isn't emphasized enough, is that there are so many tools and skills and coping mechanisms that we develop at such a young age.
Sure,
and,
of course.
And in this moment, you know, my biggest thing was that it was time to get to work and come up with a game plan.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wasn't going to take this bullying. So my problem solving skills kicked in, and I had every single one of the girls in the group home throw all of their clothes into a pile.
Ooh.
And I said, let's get to work. We're going to mix match. We're going to make sure that nobody's wearing the same thing every single day. And we're going to remove at least one aspect of trauma from our life, you know, because we're already going through so much. Why add bullying to the list?
Game changer. Hashtag that, audience. Hashtag game changer. I love it. You gave me chills when you said you're going to throw it all together and we're going to mix and match. Just my type of girl. That's right. That is right. Game changer. I love it. So this is where this was born, this idea of just mixing and matching.
Well, so essentially what happened was, you know, obviously you get older and you have to get taken to go get new clothes.
Right.
Well, imagine the foster system is heavily underfunded. So we went thrifting.
Yay! Love it.
Sparked this idea because as I walked through the aisles of the thrift stores, I couldn't help but just feel such a deep connection with the clothes because
right.
the clothes once had been cared for and now they were forgotten about.
Right.
And I felt that, you know, once I had also been cared for and I truly did feel forgotten about being
yeah.
thrown into the system in a whole new world all by myself to
right.
just
right.
be devoured by the world. And so I felt that deep connection. And so that's where the Forgotten Youth was born. Essentially, you know, as I got older, I developed the idea that I wanted to spread awareness and advocacy, and I just wanted to combine it with something that has been a lifelong love of mine, which is thrifting. I think you find some of the neatest pieces, you know,
yeah.
everything that I have is so cheap and vintage.
Right.
And, so I'm just showcasing that to the world. I'm bringing something that was once forgotten and showcasing it while spreading awareness and advocacy at the same time.
Okay. So you know that clothing, fashion, is the thing. And I know being part of, I wouldn't say that I was poor anyway, or I wouldn't say that. I would just say that I came from a different part of the world. So I came from Alabama to New York. So of course my clothing was different. And I ended up being thrust into a culture shock. Is much different than being, than not having. Can you share like the experience of one of your, you know, your clients, how that transition with just the feeling of having that option of having those clothing to make that change for them?
I think one of the biggest experiences for most people is that when they come and, you know, they're shopping, if I'm doing a pop-up or whatever, they can't believe that this clothing was thrifted. You know, it just baffles them. And to know and hear the story that I have behind the thrifting and what I'm doing, and, mm-hmm. you know, I always pitch that gig because the awareness is my number one thing that I want to push.
Right, right.
Is that the foster system is in crisis right now. And so I kind of showcase that a lot. And what I'm wanting to do with the clothing is essentially transform TFY into a nonprofit organization,
okay.
The Forgotten Youth, that helps others. So they know that their purchase is funding the future, essentially, okay. right? Because children are our future.
Sure,
and
they absolutely are.
So that always provides such an impactful moment for them,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I always hear from them how much they love their pieces and how much it resonates with them and how whenever they see it, they remember my story, and then it triggers that, you know, the concept of like, oh, foster kids are out there
right.
and something needs to be done. And so that's my goal, is to take this piece of clothing, add a story to it, and hopefully promote change.
So are you a thrift store?
I'm basically a resale store.
Resale. Okay. A resale store. And
yes.
how do you obtain your items? Do you go pick them out?
Yes, I personally go. So I travel a lot. I do fashion markets. And so we travel all over the U.S. doing our markets. And when I travel, I always go thrift wherever we go.
Okay.
And me and my boyfriend also travel together. And so it's literally on the itinerary. You
right.
know, whenever we schedule our vacations, we have to fit in our thrifting moments.
Right.
And so I find these pieces from all over the U.S. Hopefully one day I can expand because Europe's fashion is my love.
Okay.
But for now, yeah, I find all, and I think that that's probably the funnest part of this gig is that, you know, you sift through so many different clothes and then you find that one item that is just like unbelievably just cute and chic, and you're just like this, you know, and it's old school but it's new age, and it just is
yeah
it just
yeah
there's
I hear
so
you.
Many things behind it, you know,
right.
and there was a story behind it,
right.
you know, there's so much to, you know, there's so much that goes into a thrifted piece,
right.
and also finding that piece, and so
right.
it's the thrill of the hunt for me.
So you said you go to markets. Is it something that you schedule? So say, for your business, okay, I'm going to, let's say, okay, I'm going to Italy this month. How do you, let's take us through what your business looks like on a whatever is a monthly basis, weekly basis. Take us through that.
So essentially, I make it really a daily interaction for my hometown.
Okay, gotcha.
For where I live.
Okay.
It's the best time to go because pound stores, I don't know if you know anything about them.
Yeah. I love it, but I never thought about the way you're thinking about it. I always thought of it as economically and good for the world itself is stop buying so much junk. I'm a minimalist. That's what it is. I'm just so. Go ahead.
Yes.
Continue the story.
No, it's a double whammy. You know.
Yeah.
It's not only more sustainable for our earth.
Right. Absolutely.
But it's also like these are items that you cannot find anywhere else. Most
okay.
of the lines have been discontinued or they no longer exist.
Right.
And so, you know, finding these pieces, it's just like they are genuinely exclusive.
Right.
But, you know, on a daily basis, I will hit up a thrift store.
Okay.
That's always, it doesn't matter. And it works into, because I'm also a realtor. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Whole different conversation.
Yes. Okay, we matched on that part. We know it's a side joke, guys. It's a side joke.
Yes. So anytime, you know, I'm out showing a home and I'm near a thrift store, I'm going to stop in
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do a quick shift and see what they've got and see if there's any pieces that catch my eye. I am very selective. I would say, you know, a lot of people mm-hmm. tell me I've got an eye for it. They say, you know, I go thrifting all the time and I don't find the pieces that you find. But it's more about the vision of what can this be, you know,
right.
what look like on someone. And so I've really just utilized that to kind of showcase the clothing itself. And then, you know, like I said, my biggest development in that is to spread that awareness and have that advocacy implemented into it, because Texas is in such a deep crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a decade-long crisis for the
right.
foster system.
Right.
And so if I can hit, you know, two birds, well, really three birds with one stone,
mm-hmm.
then why not?
Right. So talk to us about Texas and the burden of the, you know, those in the foster care system.
Yeah, okay, for sure. So Texas has been in a decade-long crisis. It is to the point where we have so many children in the system that there's not enough housing. And these kids are literally being placed in CPS offices to sleep on cots.
Oh my goodness.
Facility. It's
wow.
insane. The, you know, the biggest issue and the biggest cause for the crisis
mm-hmm.
is lack of funding.
Okay.
So Texas just doesn't have enough money to keep up with, you know, what the amount of kids.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2018, President Donald Trump signed into action the
mm-hmm.
Family First Initiative Program.
Okay.
And so this sent out millions of dollars all over the U.S.
Okay.
But Texas was unable to become compliant. So it's estimated that over $40 million will be lost between 2022 and 2023 because Governor Greg Abbott has literally just not become compliant. So this
wow.
crisis is fully invested upon us just not gaining compliancy. And I think that's due to the lack of awareness.
Right.
Lack of advocacy. Not enough people are talking about what the system endures, what these children go through on a daily basis on top of the trauma that they've already gone through.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I feel, you know, obviously I have a connection because I was a foster kid. I
right.
wasn't adopted until the age of, I was adopted by my aunt and uncle. And I endured sexual abuse from my uncle for years,
mm-hmm.
put him in prison, but I ended up getting adopted at the age of 17
mm-hmm.
by the family, the Herman family. And so I've gone through it. I've been there. I've done that. And now I feel like it's my turn to be that voice for the voiceless and to speak up for those who are, you know, left in the dark.
Absolutely true. Well, I want to tell you that we are so connected on like three levels here. You're killing me. I'm a realtor for 20 years. I love it. And I know when you were talking about that's a whole nother level. Yeah. Yeah. You get first dibs in a lot of things. And you know, then on, you know, being a child of childhood sexual abuse and surviving through it, those are so many other layers on top of being a foster child. That's another layer. And I try to, I'm glad that you're advocating for this, because children get left behind so much in everything, because we're, you know, we think, they always say we're resilient. We're not, you know, because we grow up to be these adults who really are struggling, you know, because we haven't, you know, dealt with those things of the past. But I like what you said, that you're connected to it and you give devotion to it because of that.
Yes.
Can we talk about, you know, like a client that kind of changed the way you were doing things, like, or someone who just, you know, when you saw these, what you picked out on them and it changed their lives, how it impacted you?
Yeah. So I would say it was whenever I was actually, prior to launching TFY,
okay,
I was doing a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And the photo shoot was for the clothing. And okay. So I basically just said, hey, I'll feed you if you come. Because startups are just like that.
And yes, they are.
I got really lucky and I had an amazing group of girls come out. And, you know, I was honestly always kind of scared and reserved when it came to my clothes, because I am in West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And my style is not West Texas.
Okay.
Always very much a, you know, a scare of like, when I come out with this, are people even going to like my clothes?
Right, right, right.
And so whenever we were having this photo shoot, it was so much fun because I saw all of these girls just light up when they put my clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's reaffirming to you, but it's also like, I, you know, these pieces, every single item that mm-hmm. I find, I have a deep connection
right.
to them. So it's hard for me to see them go, but just seeing how much love that they had for these clothes,
mm-hmm.
it just was such a motivation for me, you know, to actually jumpstart the business. To know that not only, you know, them putting it on and seeing them showcase these clothes, but also just fall in love with how it made them feel,
right.
and how it made them look, and how they would look at themselves in the mirror,
right.
or, you know, they needed to take a selfie real quick. Those are, you know, that's what I live for. I'm all about female empowerment,
mm-hmm.
but seeing them light up in that way, and then being able to connect with them on that level, and then being like, hey, there's a story behind this. And then they're more open and they're more willing to listen to the story. And when they hear the story, they develop a deeper connection to the clothes.
Yeah.
So it all intertwines and works together. And I think that was definitely one of those moments for me. It was that photo shoot. It wasn't a specific girl. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
a specific client,
it was a photo shoot.
It was
yeah.
all of them. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. The connection, you're teaching us something now, because I think I'm getting a sense of why I'm a minimalist. I never knew why. Because at first I don't like a lot of stuff. But you're teaching me that I have each... I'm thinking about my clothes as you're talking. Each piece I have a connection to. And now I'm like, I'm going to do that even more often. So this is great. This is great food for the soul, you know. We don't have to have a lot to enjoy things and to be comfortable, because I like to be comfortable. I lived too many years uncomfortable for everyone else. And now I'm in the stage, oh, well, you like it, you know.
Exactly.
And I want to talk about style, because, you know, we talk about fashion all the time, right? And I know that this is something that you do, and I think that you have, what you're giving us today is why style exists. Let's talk about the difference between fashion and style.
Okay. So I think that especially in the world that we live in,
mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to become comfortable is the right word for that.
Yeah.
You know, we see how people style themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
in our daily lives,
Right.
and we tend to mimic, right? Because all of us like to mold and fit in. Not all of us,
Exactly.
but that's
Great
just
word, mimic. Great
us.
word.
Yes. And I think that it's limiting in that way. I think that the beauty in fashion, in the fashion industry, in the fashion world, and just fashion in general, is that it is so complex and versatile. And that's one of the things that I even press with my clothes, is that, you know, whenever I'm selling and showcasing, a lot of times I'll have guys who come in and they're like, "Do you have any guy clothes?" And I'm like, "Listen, if it looks good on you, it looks good on you."
Ooh, I like that. That's great. I like
and
that.
So I think that that's like one of the big differences, is like whenever, you know, having your own personal set style, right, is one thing. That's great as long as you're not doing that mimicking and you're showcasing yourself through it.
Right.
With fashion, it's there's a whole world that you can dive into when we're talking colors, when we're talking patterns, when we're talking Western and Middle Eastern, and it's just, it's so endless, right? And I think one of the big impacts in my life is that I was so susceptible to change, right? In the foster system, you move around, you bounce around, you meet new cultures, you meet new people, new individuals, new way of thinking. And that went, it kind of correlated to my fashion, because at the end of the day, I never really had one set style,
right?
And so I went from being a person who would develop a style to being someone who was just absorbed with fashion and the look. And that's definitely been a huge, I think, benefit for me with TFY, because I'm all over the place. You know, you can't call me Western, you can't call me Southern. It's just
And that's great. That's a great way to be, because that makes you limitless. Makes you limitless.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. That's great. Okay. So is there something that you, is there a common myth about what you do right now as a thrifter, or you, there might be another word that you do that you would like to debunk, that someone's always saying, you know, is there something that you can share with us?
A common myth. I guess one of the, biggest things that I hear more often, and I don't know if it would be considered a myth or if it's
just something they say.
Stereotype, you know?
Yes.
I could, and I love my mother to death, but I can relay that to her, right? People have this outlook or this perspective on thrifting as a nasty thing.
Right.
You know, as a, you know, it's that I'm going to be wearing someone else's clothes, and no, that's just, I can't even think about touching something that someone else has worn. And I think that that's something that a perspective, and it's such a myth. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, in my eyes, you know, you wash it, it's brand new.
Right. You haven't had it before.
Why we're in this situation where we have such an abundance of clothing to the point where we're being overloaded. Right.
Yeah, right.
It's to the point where Levi's is even promoting sustainability because it's needed.
Right.
And I think that the idea and the concept of thrifting being nasty or being correlated with negative, or like just negative emotions in general, I think that just has to go. It's got to go. I think there's beauty in everything, but there is most definitely beauty in clothes and the way that it, listen, I will tell you this.
Yes.
The clothes that I find, they don't make them like that anymore.
That's right. They don't. They don't. I like that. I really do like that, because I was saying that to, I think, my mom. And I was like, you know, I'm so tired of polyester. It's not warm in the wintertime. And it's not, it's definitely not soothing in the summertime. And I was like, I want out of it all. So I went through my closet, I think a month ago, and I just started pulling things out. Polyester, out of here, out of here, out of here. So my mom was like, what are you going to wear? I said, the things that make me comfortable. Which were like a lot of cotton, you know, and cotton blends. And I think that's important too, is to really, you know, stay true to yourself. You're so in tune with yourself. That's what you're really relaying to me, is that you're so in tune with the inner being of who you are. It's really enlightening. It's refreshing as well.
I appreciate that. I think I can correlate that directly to being a foster kid, because, you know, I didn't have someone molding me or telling me what to do or what to wear or how to act. you know, instead I was surrounded by so many different types of people, so many different heritage, so right. many different, you know, cultures, that I was able to just take a little bit of everything and piece it all together and create me.
Yeah. And that's good. What, are the best resources that you, that have helped you in your business?
I would say number one is that, and I think people tend to not think about this very much, mm-hmm. but it's just the God-given gift of communication.
Ooh, very good.
Literally. And I was watching the Genius series on mm-hmm. On Netflix, the yes. documentary, Kanye mm-hmm. West documentary. Mm-hmm. And Jay-Z said something that I have just been utilizing in my everyday life since I heard it. And it's that closed mouths don't get fed.
Oh, no, they don't. Yes. No, they do. That's my favorite, and I love to ask. I will not stop asking. I will not. I will never stop asking.
And once I open my mouth, I promise you, the food has been abundant.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you are doing, giving us some great food for thought and some great fashion tips and some style tips about thrifting. What is the biggest failure in what you're doing now that you learned along the way, and how did you apply it to your, what you're doing now?
So I think that's an easy question. My biggest failure is, and you know, I think failure is a objective term. I think that it has a negative connotation, but uh-huh. I think that you learn from every single failure,
sure,
right?
You do, yes.
I think that the success doesn't feel as good if you don't fail a few times.
Exactly.
But for me, it was quite literally being so obsessed with the specifics, with, you know, specifications of what is my website going to look like? Mm-hmm. How am I going to post this? Who am I going to use? Do I do this? Do I do that? I need to make sure this is right. I need to check this and double check that, to the point where this idea was developed in 2016 mm-hmm. and I didn't truly launch it until this year.
Yeah.
Now my mindset shifted. And I think that the biggest thing for me was that I thought I needed to have all the preparation in the world. I needed every specific down to the last T. Mm-hmm. I needed to have everything in line. And I think that because I didn't just dive on in, you know, I wasted so much time essentially. And I think that that's a lot of things. The hardest part of many things is just starting.
Yeah, it really is.
For me, my major shift happened whenever I had my baby. Because while I was pregnant, you know, growing up in the foster system, I wasn't shown unconditional love. Mm-hmm. I wasn't given stability. I wasn't showcased how to be a parent. And I think that's many people, not just foster kids.
Right.
Because of that, I had a scare and a worry about having my child that I wasn't prepared. And ready or not, he popped right on out. And, well, you know, as I was holding my baby, I realized that, like, while preparation is key, at the end of the day, it takes me grabbing that key, putting it in the hole, twisting it, and opening up that door.
Yeah.
It takes the action that you have to push, you know? And so I made that decision that it was time for action. It was time to get started, and it was time to dive in head first. And looking back on everything that I've done, mm-hmm. I don't think that there was, you know, there was twists and turns, obviously, but at the end of the day, the number one thing I wish I could have changed was obsessing over the unknown, uh-huh. you know, right. obsessing over the preparation. And right, I think right. preparation is key, but like I said, it's that action step that is necessary to the success.
Right. Yeah, that makes very perfect sense. Perfect sense. You know, perfectionism. We can't get that right if we tried.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
We could not get it right. So this is a great for our audience. Audience, you've heard a lot from Alicia. I'm loving it. I'm loving everything about the sustainability of thrifting, the beauty in the clothing, the connection with the clothing. It's bringing new light to how I even think about clothes at this point right now. And you're making a change for me, Alicia. I really appreciate that. And I hope that we're making the change in the audience, right? And
yes.
Now that we've gotten to know all about your business, we're going to turn the tables and we're going to get to know about you personally. What is your favorite dessert?
Oops. That one is tough. I adore sweets.
Oh, what? You adore your well, you'll be best friends with my granddaughter. She adores them.
It's one of those, it's an itch that I've had to scratch my whole life. I'm even having to, at this point, learn how to not overindulge.
Right. Yeah.
I would say that top tier, you can't get rid of it, is chocolate.
Yeah, you're going to be best friends with my granddaughter. That would be up her alley. I never saw a child take small bites of chocolate to indulge. She says the flavor, and she's six. She's six. And I'm like, you're indulging, you're learning to, she's learning to appreciate things like that. I'm like, I usually see kids gobble down chocolates like down the hatch. She's like, right. You got to take small bite sizes to let it last. I said, it'll melt. She says, no, it's okay. You know, and she's just loves it. That's really good. That's really a good choice.
Especially German chocolate. That level of chocolate.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother level. A whole nother level. Yes. So what is your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue. As far as shades go, you know, because shades
matter. Yeah. You wouldn't be Alicia if you didn't give us a shade. Come on, give us a shade.
How do I put this? Turquoise is one of those things, right? It's my birthstone. It's color of foster care awareness.
Right.
There's so many things that like play into it, but I've just had a draw to that my entire life. Like the beauty of it, even just looking up into the sky, the different shades of blue that come out. I mean, blue is just so endless. I think it provides that sense of, like, coolness. It like provides that sense of just, I guess, whenever I was going through so much, blue was one of those colors that helped me level out.
Yeah.
You know, it provided that sense of peace and calmness for me.
Endless blue, I like that. So audience, hashtag endless blue. I like that. Endless blue. I love it. I just love it. You know, I really like all of what you're saying. I'm just excited. I really am. So, if you had a billboard, what would you write on that billboard and why?
That's a good one. Probably, your story doesn't end here.
Oh. Would you put a period, or would you just, what would you put at the end of that?
Probably dot, dot, dot. And that, you know, and that is because it
doesn't end.
It doesn't. Ongoing. Really, and with each period, there's a circle, right? And circles literally never end.
Woo, that's it. Oh, that's really good. That is really good. That is really good. Oh, my goodness. That's excellent. So I'm going to give you this last question. What would you pick for your last meal? It's not a dessert.
I love it. A very, very last meal. That's a good one. This sounds crazy. My Oma passed away from breast cancer, but she used to make goulash. It's a German meal.
Yes, I've had it before.
Family adopted into her German, so I was introduced to a whole new, you know, array of foods. And gosh, could she cook up some goulash?
That sounds good. Yeah.
Yes.
Goulash. Yeah. Okay. So final thoughts, Alicia, that you can leave with my audience. Final thoughts. And anyone in business that wants to take this their business life to the next level, anything like that you can share.
My final thoughts are going to be that no matter how hard you think something's going to be, and no matter how many obstacles that come about, the hardest part that you're going to face is the start. Because overcoming your own mental blockade that you set for yourself, once you can do that, the rest is cake. Right. The rest is just about molding and developing and creating new things as the life throw, you know, as the world throws these new obstacles at you. And once you've overcome your own battle and within your own self created, you know, not only that positivity, but just that confidence within yourself,
right?
They're stopping you.
That's right. That is right. Well, this brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, audience, and you'd like to help support, remember to like, share, and post it on the social media. But more so than that, on the end of this show, you can actually leave a message for Alicia. But Alicia's going to tell us where we can find her on the internet, wherever she wants us to locate her, so that you can leave a message for her.
Yes, you can find me on... most platforms are all TFY Apparel. Okay. And super easy. That's actually our website, everything.
Right.
And I respond immediately. I'm super active on social media. You know, I am a millennial. So you can definitely reach me there. And I would love to hear from you, hear your stories, and hear any kind of feedback.
That'd be wonderful. So you can catch up with me on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter at EJW Coaching. Thanks again, audience, and I'll see you next time. And remember to always draw abundance, have happiness, and a whole lot of fun. This is Edna White, and my guest today, Alicia Broman, from the Forgotten Youth Apparel, saying goodbye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.